I will then, for the simulation, I will see if I can get it to go up to 4 or maybe 5 objects.
Right. But I think it's useful to think about, okay, so what are, if we want to be able to learn kind of a next level on top, what useful task would there be, and what's the information we need for it?
Yeah. So the first task is, the lowest level one is just picking an object up, which is what we have right now.
Right. Except, I mean, we have to be careful that we don't make them too simplistic for the paper. That might be almost too simplistic in the way it's formulated right now for the paper. It might work.
Well, we're going to do something more complex than that.
Right, right.
But I'm just saying,
I think for right now, yes.
That's what I have.
For right now,
so then the next level,
something very simple,
would be...
But also make sure that what we pull out as common structure doesn't become single nodes all the time.
Right.
Which means what matters have to really be combinations of things have to make the difference. We can't just
so
say,
rather than,
oh, color is the difference, because
rather
that's
than
just
having weight correlated to color, have weight correlated to color and shape, maybe?
Well,
would that make it?
Well, weight correlated to color is kind of an okay first step, but you have to make sure, again, that it's not such that one of them alone would actually do the trick.
That's what we have right now. So if it's
right.
red, you know
right.
that you're going to be
and
able
so,
to pick it
and
up.
So we can try that, and then we can always kind of change what those correlations are.
But that's what I'm saying,
more
like,
complex structures.
If you do weight correlated to color shape combinations, like
mm-hmm.
the red square may be liftable, but a red, you know, sphere might not be,
mm-hmm.
versus like a green sphere might be liftable, and a
right.
green pyramid may not be. And having explicit ones for each combination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could also have, well, I guess, I don't know what other attributes I have in there. I guess it's just weight, color,
you might
shape.
Even, in, but this is a little bit further out. Maybe as a next step, think about, I mean, we talked about this where maybe there's a possibility to make them into actual objects so they're more similar, because then we might even be able to get the object, even though we will get the object part.
Yeah, I mean, they're already
the only problem
objects,
with
the, they're just not, it's not known to the learning agent that they're objects.
Right.
They're just...
Well, see, we really kind of wanted to build the objects, but
yeah,
that's a different story.
It's definitely something we want to look at, but...
Well, see, in some sense, in this case, the object is the remainder of the tree once you pull the adjective out.
To a certain extent, unless there's other adjectives in there.
Oh yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's a noun even with the adjective in it.
Right, I see what you're saying.
I mean, see, that's the problem. I mean, a noun with an adjective in it, a noun with an adjective is still a noun phrase. It's still
right.
a noun. And sometimes we don't have an explicit noun for it, but sometimes we do.
Yep.
Sometimes we have a noun for the category, and then we have a noun for a special instance of it.
Right.
Which really means now we have a noun for a noun with an adjective.
Yep.
And so I don't think you can ever really make that separation where you say, oh, it's only becoming this noun once you've pulled all the adjectives out. The reality is it's a noun to start with.
Yeah.
It's just a very generic noun. And it becomes a more specific noun. It kind of starts as a specific noun, more or less, and it becomes a more generic one as you pull out adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'll ever be able to make a hard boundary anywhere.
Right.
On that, because I don't think it exists in language. I mean, again, objects consist out of objects.
Right.
Does that mean that the whole thing isn't an object? No, it is, because some criterion has told us that it's worth making up a name for it rather than referring to it by its parts.
Right. Okay.
And vice versa. It's been, we've identified the parts as being worth referring by itself, even though we could also do the whole. And I think that's actually the exact same thing, is if you can break it in parts, you have to say, is it worth it?
Right.
Because there are some objects that, if you think long enough about it, you could say consist out of parts, but the parts are really never referred to as words. It's
yeah.
really only referred to as the whole.
Okay.
I mean, again, the biggest problem, I guess, becomes once you think long enough about that it consists out of parts, you will design names for it, which is why it's very hard to come up with examples of this, because as soon as you make it an example, someone will make up names for the parts, because you almost have to show that it's out of parts. You have to say, well, and here are the parts, and then you almost have names for them at that moment.
Right.
But that might not have any to start with.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So
I'm gonna work on enhancing the simulation that way, and
right.
I mean, I have some more papers to read.
Just see how complex it gets, and then maybe we should think about that, whether there is a systematic way to change the state space so that the similarity across object attributes is more clear, or actually think about it, whether it actually is necessary. Maybe it can already on a state space like this generalize it, but maybe it has to do that. Maybe that's already a result of a first step of this.
Generalize what?
That the first object you saw and the second object you saw are both objects and they're interchangeable.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a given. I don't know. See, because that's kind of what you have
right
now.
Yep.
And so that means that right now you can't generalize the attributes because they're not the same attributes.
Right.
I guess it's a chicken and egg question. Which one's first? The knowledge that the attributes are the same? Or are the attributes start out different and get generalized because they have common functionalities?
Right. I don't know.
That is kind of there's the first object, the second object, third object, and then there's like the object you're reaching for.
Yeah.
Which now generalizes the attributes across the objects, obviously.
Right.
Because it has to.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's kind of strange. I mean, it's not completely intuitive that it would be the same, but on the other hand, at the lowest feature level, it's kind of intuitive that the features that make up objects would initially be the same, because I would guess initially they're not tied to objects. In some sense, the features that make up objects pre-exist the objects, right?
So
some of them have to,
yeah,
because you couldn't see it otherwise, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you wouldn't have feature detectors in your visual cortex, you could not see objects. So obviously you can't design features based on objects, because you couldn't see the objects without the features. Now ultimately what objects there are will drive what features you have. But so in some sense that has to pre-exist. So they don't get generalized across objects. In some sense, they have to pre-exist the notion of an object. I mean, at least it seems to me there doesn't seem to be any way to do it the other way around, because you have to be able to see an object. You can't see an object without features.
Right.
Because there's nothing otherwise. So there are some things that, in some sense, have to be general. Now the question is, are they understood to be general?
Right.
And that's, I guess, the other question. That's, is a vertical edge at one part of your vision system and a vertical edge at another part in your visual field, do they start out with an understanding they're the same, or do they start out they're two different things and effectively you make them the same because they don't make any difference? Which, again, that would actually be the turnaround. It would say the object ultimately actually makes them the same, because the only reason to make them the same is that if I track something, they don't change.
Right.
So I don't know what the answer to that is, in which order. And so I guess that's the same question with these sequential objects. Do they first exist sequentially, or do the objects pre-exist that sequence?
Right.
And I think you can make both work. You can get from... I think you can get from those objects to generalizing them.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure we have enough complexity in this domain to do it.
Well, that's definitely an idea for another paper, essentially, right?
I th- think in some sense it is, because from a language standpoint, that also has implications. I mean, it's kind of the object categories, or specific object versus general object.
Right.
Also a little bit space, which is one of those heavily studied things. But yeah, I would say, let's see what it would do to the complexity if we do this, but let's also think about, so what are the tasks, what's the next level task, and what do we need for it? And we need to have multiple. I mean, one alone is just not going to cut it. If there's only one task you can learn on top of it, that's a little bit limiting.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as far as papers go,
mm-hmm.
I've been grabbing a bunch and trying to read them and stuff, but it still seems like there's not a ton of things that is, like, directly related. It's all kind of, like, on the fringes, I guess. So,
well,
I mean,
there's some stuff about language, but language usually purely refers to communication.
Yeah, and they're talking, a lot of it deals with syntax.
Semantic representation.
There's some that had semantic in the title, but what they get up to is, like, their semantic is, like, this word appears here, and then there's these groups of words that appeared before it.
Right.
And we can statistically, like, you can look at the actual word you're currently looking at, and then you can also keep a statistical track of that word
right.
that's appeared.
And that's because there was actually a whole bunch of people in linguistics and psychology who kind of have these models. I mean, they're basically defining the semantics of a word in terms of other words.
Yeah, which is...
Which ultimately can't work.
Yeah, now there was one paper which tried to build a grounding framework, which is the one I showed you. And that
mm-hmm.
that one actually made more sense in the sense that it said, okay, well, these things have to be grounded in maybe non-linguistic characteristics. And they did make reference. But that, other than that, I haven't really found much else. But I just wanted to, I mean, that's fine. I just, if you come across
right.
any papers that you think
would
be interesting.
What we want to do sooner or later, and I haven't done very much in this, is kind of something like what, I guess Tim and Danielle have already done for hers, is kind of trying to arrange the papers that we have in some semantic space, basically making up some form of a taxonomy, like what do they address, and I don't know what the dimensions of that space are,
mm-hmm.
but kind of the, what are the different aspects with respect to language development and grounding that different people address, and where do different papers fit within that?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to look at now.
Kind of trying to lay it out in some n-dimensional space, where
yeah.
n ideally is a small number, so you can actually look at it.
Okay, well, maybe that's something we should tackle too, but I don't know that we necessarily need to do it before the end of the summer, because I kind of want to, I mean...
Well, I mean, I think a very coarse organization of the papers, like what are the things people address and what are the things they don't,
okay,
would probably be useful.
Yeah.
Actually, and if it's just to have it, so if we look at other papers, we know where they fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to be very detailed or anything. I mean, eventually we should
probably...
It's
basically categorizing the papers to a certain extent, right?
Yes, but it's defining the space in which the research lies.
Okay.
Around this topic.
And the other thing is, I mean, well, part of it is, like, the goal was to try and get a paper done by the end of the summer. I don't know how close we are, so... I mean, it's going to probably take a lot of work in the next few weeks.
Right.
In order to
well,
get it
I mean, I would say... I would say the goal should be to have kind of the research for a paper done.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the paper is realistic. Well, I guess, because it's only 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Right. But the most important thing is to actually have the content for it. I mean, the actual paper is not quite that. If we can start after that, we have to kind of know what kind of format. But
yeah.
No, I think having the content for a paper done by the end of the summer would still be a target, or by the beginning of fall, let's say.
Yeah.
I guess that's a week and a half difference.
Yeah. Sure.
But yeah, no, I would say that's still a goal.
Okay. Cool. I think that's it, but I definitely